This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, and with me, Cam Rasslin, today. We have a very special edition of Bit of Culture. Well, obviously, every edition is a special edition, but this one's been months in the preparation. This is a special football edition. We're going to talk about the cultures surrounding football with, we have BFM's football host, Ross Youssef.
Oi, 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 hello.
Hello there. And we also have, along with Ross, leading experts on the Malaysian game, but also the UK game, Des Corkill.
Delighted to be here. Football is part of mainstream culture, and it's about time it got a show on the Bit of Culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hang on, if it's called a Bit of Culture, what's Des Corkill doing here?
And that's precisely the kind of banter that we get used to in football.
So that was a straight insult.
So the three topics are going to be, topic number one is football allegiances, where do they come from and where do they go? Mm-hmm. Topic number two is World Cups. And finally, topic number three, terrace culture. So with topic number one, allegiances. Des, he is from Liverpool. He's a Liverpudlian. Therefore, he supports Liverpool.
Or Everton. You have a choice. But from where I come from, no, that's Birkenhead. That's over the water. From where I come from, you support the team from where you are from or that you've got an actual connection to. For example, if your father's born in London and he passes that down and you live in Nottingham, it's legitimate to support your father's team.
Right.
But there's got to be a genuine connection with the team that you support.
Sure. So Ross here. Ross and I, we had similar upbringings. Mm-hmm. We were from Malaysia, but we grew up in England, mm-hmm. Just down the road from each other. We never knew each other there. So Ross is a Malaysian who supports Manchester United.
Yep.
Now, and how did you come to do that?
Well, growing up here in Malaysia, you're talking 70s for me, right? Okay, so all we had was Road to Wembley. I remember that was on TV. I used to listen to the BBC Worldwide commentary. It had the second half of matches live every week. So we'd watch that, and my dad would let me stay up late at that time. It was 11 o'clock kickoff to watch the late FA Cup games and stuff. And Liverpool were winning everything. My brother and I were into football, and we decided to like teams directly opposed to Liverpool. So my brother chose Everton, mm-hmm. and I went for Man United.
Right. Now, on the other hand, I moved to the UK when I was 5, and so I grew to understand Des's, it's common, I mean, everybody in England is the same. You have to have some connection to the club. So the first question that I was asked when I went to primary school at the age of 5 by these rowdy English kids was, what team do you support? And I had no idea what they were talking about. And I never did. I didn't live anywhere near any of these football centres. I also grew up to hate football and football fans, and I came to football actually quite late. So I never got the allegiance. But I didn't have, at the same time, the liberty of a Malaysian.
Well, although I knew I liked Man United from probably age 12, 13 onwards, when I went to boarding school and I studied abroad from 14 onwards, I kind of lived in and around London, so all my friends were Crystal Palace and Charlton fans. So I actually went to Selhurst Park, and at that time, what was the Charlton ground? It was off Addiscombe Road.
The Valley.
The Valley, yeah. Used to go there quite a lot, and then the Valley was derelict, and they left it. Right.
They left it, and they've gone back again, and they rebuilt it because the community was strong enough, and the local support was strong enough to bring back something that was dead beyond the grave, and they rebuilt it. Like AFC Wimbledon at the moment. Wimbledon were sent to Milton Keynes. Newer AFC Wimbledon come at the bottom league. 9 promotions later, they've overtaken Milton Keynes King. That is the strength of local community. It's not about your Liverpools. It's not about your Man United. It's about your Rochdales and your Port Vales.
Agreed.
And your Stokes and your AFC Wimbledons. That's where it comes from. My question to both of you is local allegiance. Who's your Malaysian club?
Selangor.
Perak.
Always has been.
Yeah.
Tell me about your Malaysian club.
I can tell you absolutely nothing about my Malaysian club.
And that to me is a massive, massive problem.
I've seen Selangor play when I was a kid. My dad took me to a few matches. We watched Selangor play Singapore and beat Singapore a couple of times. I remember the stadium was absolutely packed. I remember being really frightened. It was concrete slabs. we were sitting on. But it was great fun. It was wicked. It was the best night out.
But Des, if you're asking that question, so my connection would be Perrot because my father's from Perrot. And so it's just a natural, it would be Perrot. I know nothing about Perrot Football Club.
They're quite good now.
I think, great, excellent.
They're playing in the Shopee Piala FA Final, 27th of July. 85,000 people will be there. To me, it's very much a Klang Valley problem. This,
No.
Because affinity and allegiance does count around Malaysia.
If my family's from Perrot, do I even need to know anything about Perrot Football Club? The players, do I need to? Because my allegiance is just Perrot straight up. Done. In the same way that yours would be to Liverpool.
Indeed.
Do you need to know?
So where I come from, I'm very lucky being from Liverpool. I was born and bred there. My poor old brother, he's an Evertonian, poor fella. So I'm very lucky. I was brought up at the right time, at the right place. I didn't realise Liverpool's global reach in the 80s because I'm a kid at school. They're just my team. When we lose, they're my team. When we win, they're my team.
When did you first see the size of it? When you left England?
When I left, it still astonishes me now. Just blows my mind. One of the most surreal experiences I've ever had was when Liverpool played Malaysia 8 years ago. It was great. I was doing commentary. I was thrilled to do commentary. 85,000 people at Bukit Jalil, 70,000 red shirts.
Yeah. Which is
you
sad.
Know what? Morally, it was corrupt.
Really?
Absolutely.
Why?
You support a club team against your national side? My word, just blows my mind
defending,
in a bad way.
Defending that, you don't normally get national sides against clubs. So it was very much a one-off, you know, performance.
I promise you.
But I know what you mean, Des. Everyone should have been...
If Malaysia were to play and be popular and go to Liverpool, it's all red because we want to show who we are.
It's the same when Malaysia and Man United played. The stadium was just full of United shirts. And you sit there and you feel like...
So where's your personal pride? Where's your true national pride?
Well, because the ultimate allegiance would be, I'm sure, Malaysia.
It wasn't. There was your chance to show it on public. And you didn't.
Well, maybe that's a Liverpool
thing. Hang on,
though,
I was there. I didn't wear a United shirt and I cheered when Malaysia scored.
Right.
So, very noble of you. Very noble.
Yeah.
I bet you cheered louder when Man United scored.
No, I didn't cheer because they scored so many. So I had to be cool.
He's provoking me here.
At least Fabien Barthez didn't play outfield against you.
We don't, but Des, we don't have that privilege of having been born in a place. We choose from afar a club, which is a good club. I mean, they play good football. We want to watch good football.
So Ross and you grew up seeing goals being scored. You saw highlights. You didn't see live games. Live games didn't exist until the late 70s. Maybe saw the FA Cup final live.
Road to Wembley.
So you saw highlights. You saw the best of.
And listened to the games
and
live.
The listening is very good. The listening is part of my growing up as well.
That was it.
Really believe it. We're in a radio station here. I think radio misses such a glorious opportunity with live sport. I really do. So a lot of that was my culture, but it was still all based around my bias. This is my home club. Hearing the grainy sound of Liverpool playing in Zurich or, you know, Steaua Bucharest, this far remote place, a grainy radio line. Whoa,
yes, but imagine then if you've made that choice to support, say, Liverpool, and you're all the way over here in Alostar, and you're reading newspaper reports, or perhaps catching it off the World Service. Imagine there's a romance to that.
So here's my issue. Why is the newspaper in Alostar telling you about Liverpool?
It also is talking about the local stuff.
I guarantee you the Liverpool Echo does not carry anything about Malaysia. Guarantee you.
Well, that's by the by. But,
no, it's not by the by.
But
it's
the star
of
the NST or Brita Harian, it's also going to carry the local stuff. I mean, the two of you commentate on Malaysian broadcasters on the local game.
We do.
Yeah, so
and it's really
it
difficult to find the space. And people frequently come up to me and say, oh, white man knows better about Malaysian football than our guys.
That
kills me.
Yeah, I can
There's
understand.
There's no way I should be more knowledgeable about the local game.
I understand Des's frustration. It is true. Des knows a heck of a lot more about Malaysian football than 80% of Malaysians here, which is in itself very sad. But...
But
it's his job.
No, it's not my job.
No,
it's my passion.
Well,
I left to come here to do that.
Well, even today, you've got kids, 16, 17, 18, who love Liverpool today, Man United today. They know everything about every squad player Liverpool have. They know nothing about Slango, PJ City, or any of the other teams.
Okay, well, we're going to move on. Must move on. And okay, Des, I feel shame, all right? Are you satisfied now?
And rightly so.
Rightly so. We're going to move on, though, to something which should probably get Des even more upset. In terms of global reach, the World Cup, Ross.
Yeah. I just saw the best ever one this summer.
Oh, you're kidding me.
The best summer.
He's pulling my buttons in.
No, it was at Lords.
Cricket.
Yeah, it was amazing. I've never seen a World Cup, you know, settled on a super over. He thought I was going to say the Women's World Cup. That was all right. But no, the Cricket World Cup was just out of this world for me. And I watched loads of World Cups of every sport.
Okay, including the football one.
For football, everything, yeah.
The Football World Cup.
First one I remember, it's probably 1978. I remember that because Mario Kempes, I remember loving the Argentina kit. I remember Kempes having his socks half down. I remember ticker tape in the final. Loads and loads of ticker tape.
You're watching that here, obviously, in Malaysia.
I think we saw that live. And that was actually in colour, if I'm not mistaken.
Lucky we didn't know anything about politics at that stage.
No, we didn't.
Because that was in Argentina.
It was in Argentina. And I actually didn't know much about the Dutch total football side. At that time, I was cheering for Argentina. I thought they were brilliant and all that. But if it was today, I'd cheer for Holland.
And Des, you're from Liverpool. And as I understand it, Liverpool is the home of the club v country debate, where country isn't as important as club. But yeah. The World Cup, does that mean anything to you?
Not really.
No?
Oh, my God. It's nice to watch. It would have been good. I would have been happy if England won, but I was more concerned that Alexander-Arnold came back without an injury. in all honesty, you look at all the players, and okay, who's injured, who's not injured? I'm terrified about the African Cup of Nations, not because I'm really passionate about who wins. I want Salah to come back unscathed. I want Mane back unscathed.
Where is your ultimate allegiance? Where's your shame?
It's Liverpool Football Club.
Now,
that's okay. All right.
Now, for us Asian fans, World Cups are great fun. I mean, look at the one that we just had in Russia, right, last year. That was superb. Try and tell me that wasn't fun. But there have been loads of really duff World Cups. I remember USA 94 was quite boring, wasn't it?
There was no England in that one.
I mean, they're great fun. I'll watch two or three games a day. I'm like the casual fan, and there's an awful lot of casual fans. As a marketing tool for football, World Cup's sensational. Just sensational.
And I've got to say, a lot of us watch World Cups on the telly. I actually experienced the 2006 World Cup and in its entirety. I spent a whole month in Germany, and that is something else. When you actually, you can actually see the country setting up.
It's like a festival.
It's like a massive festival.
It does bring countries together.
Amazing.
Resources improved. German football resources improved dramatically. The stadiums became wonderful.
Mm. If you can imagine a whole country on party mode for a whole month at every single town you go to, it's amazing.
I actually entered enjoying football through the international game. Italia 90. When I was in England and I was watching the England team for the first time ever, really. I mean, I had bits and pieces here and there. And it became this gathering momentum. They finally got to the semi-finals. It was a very emotional experience.
There was Gazza crying.
It was also very important for English football at that time that they had something that was non-violent related.
Absolutely.
Going through this huge phase. And suddenly we had some real good news, passion. The tears.
Terry Butcher bloodied.
Yeah. So unlike theirs, I actually have a real affinity for the international game. It means something to me. And I really enjoy watching these various enigmas on the pitch, these sort of cultures playing against each other. They might be neighbors geographically, but they're so different in the way that they play. And then trying to sort of like work out the puzzle of why the Dutch are like the Dutch. How come they play like that? Mm. And how come the English are like the English? And there's a consistency to the story of the way that they play. And it's like, now, actually, strangely, they're kind of breaking that mold.
Well, they are.
Fascinating.
Because we're now into multinationalism. Yeah. We're coming on to this terrace cultures in a little while about how it is now all the same. it's like there's a Starbucks on every corner, there's a Coffee Bean on every corner, and every country plays the same football. It's pass, 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 pass. Some teams press. Pressing's happened forever. It just now it's the Germans in charge of it. Other teams play flowing football. That's happened forever. Other teams play attacking football, but it's now multinational, so there's no one identity. The Dutch, you could identify with that. The Argentines used to play three at the back. Yeah. Italy used to play with the sweeper, be it Fischetti or Scirea.
So let me jump in here, Des, and say, how difficult then is it for someone like Malaysia to get a football identity if it's like that now?
Sort your league out first and get the kids playing early and get more depth. So make it part of the culture. So this is a very interesting title. Football in the Western countries is part of the culture. Here in Asia, it's an add-on.
Agreed.
It's nice to watch. It's not part of the culture. I've got a nephew staying with me at the moment who plays cricket every Saturday, football for two clubs. His life is sport, and he goes to Tottenham on certain games. His life
don't
is
hold
sport,
that against him.
And it's part of the culture.
I think there's actually, you arrived in Malaysia just after a period when football had been part of the culture.
Yes,
and it was something that knitted cultures together.
Yeah.
And in those days, football was, I mean, football in the UK, it's a working class sport. And so poor people of any background found in football a way out. And the doors were closed on a lot of people. So it got divorced from culture and is now an add-on.
It's too expensive now to go and watch a game. What was it, £40 to go and watch an Arsenal game on the terrace?
Minimum. Yeah. Well, it's a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, we must get move on, though. But I just want to ask Ross, are you looking forward to the next one? Geopolitics in the Middle East in winter?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I wouldn't go, though.
Okay.
I can't get a drink.
You'd go, Des?
You'll be able to get a drink there. I think they'll put on one of the most amazing shows. You take the politics out. We spoke about Argentina, our memories of it. Argentina was run by a junta who killed people in their thousands to make sure that these World Cup stadiums were...
And we all thought Russia...
And we're thinking, great, we all thought Russia would be back. Qatar, morally, have they bought it? Every country's bought it. Right.
And it's going to be on Astro, is it, Des?
I'm not with Astro anymore. I'm Malaysia Football League. I'm local sport.
All right, okay. All right. So we move on, though. And in a moment, though, we're going to return with insight into terrace culture here on A Bit of Culture, BFM 89.9. And we're back with myself, Cam Ruslan, Ross Yusuf, and Des Corkill. By the way, this is a special football edition of A Bit of Culture. And now Des Corkill, native of Liverpool, is going to tell us something about terrace culture.
Yeah, a little bit about what I feel has been lost with terrace culture. I grew up watching football in the 70s and the 80s, and you say the word terrace culture, and people think hooligans, people think trouble, people think riots. There was a lot more to terrace culture in those days. The songs that are sung now are very good, but there's no underlying reason why those songs are sung. I'll give Liverpool as an example. Okay, Walk On is great, but Jerry and the Pacemakers, they came from Liverpool. But the other song, Scouser Tommy, is a combination of The Sash. So the end is The Sash. Now, Liverpool, The Sash is a Protestant song.
Oh, right. Okay.
So Liverpool is probably the Protestant team in the old days of Merseyside. Everton were the Catholic team. Oh, right. Everton built on St. Domingo's Church. So Everton songs, Hail, Hail, the Blues Are Here. What the hell do we care? It's a grand old team to play for. They are largely Catholic oriented.
And an Irish background.
An Irish background, a lot of Irish background. Liverpool is Protestant orientated. So The Sash, the song, the words are different, but Scouser Tommy incorporates The Sash. Fields of Athenry, so all around the fields of Anfield Road where once blah, has been adapted. Fields of Athenry was about the Irish famine. Hmm. So there's this old, all these old songs, it's based on folklore. And you go to even Everton, so they come out to Zedcar's theme. Why Zedcar's theme? Well, Zedcar's was a program.
Town, yeah.
No, Zedcar's was a program that was in the 60s and the 70s on the television.
That.
And the theme song was Zedcar's. So there's a local cultural element.
And Man City come out to Oasis. There you go. Rest my case.
They do. But the Manchester City one, Blue Moon, everybody associates Blue Moon with Man City. Yeah. Okay. That was as a result of their team, their supporters being held back at Anfield one night after a game in 1981, trouble going on outside, police holding them. They were held there for 2 hours. They looked up and one fan started singing Blue Moon. Mm-hmm. And that suddenly became their song. Prior to that, it'd been Hey Jude, because when they won the league in 1968, Hey Jude was top of the
They do still play Hey Jude.
They still play Hey Jude. Yeah. The reason is because in 1968, Hey Jude was number one. Even though Hey Jude is the Beatles and a Liverpool song, that was the folklore, or that's the derivation of it.
Do you reckon that's missing in Malaysian football?
Absolutely, all the songs are the same.
Yeah.
West Ham, the reason they sing Bubbles, well, there's two reasons, two supposed reasons, but one is they used to play I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles, which is an old music hall number, back in the 1920s. They used to have a brass band at West Ham playing I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles. So this is an historic song that's now nearly a century old.
Yeah.
That is terrace culture.
Yeah.
But are they evolving? I mean, are they not?
They're not
adapting
evolving.
To new people, younger people.
So what's happening is you're getting derivative songs with new, very amusing words. There's great, some very offensive
very
words
funny,
in some of them
yeah.
as well. But there's nothing original. There's no origin. A recent one. So Virgil van Dijk is an old Manchester song. It's about the poverty of Manchester. But they've adapted the song to Virgil van Dijk. So there's a little bit still going on, but generally it's the same tune with amusing words. Chelsea, I've got a great one at the moment. Azpilicueta, we will call you Dave. So Dave is a look back on, what was that? The Trotter, Del Boy Trotter.
Only Fools and Horses.
But you know these old music hall songs that are often used?
That's where it started from, yes.
Because they were written and designed to be able to be sung along by large crowds of people in a theatre.
But what gets me
so
is...
So therefore it lends itself to the stadium well. But if you start trying to get kind of clever and complex with a Happy Monday song... it's not really going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. But some bloke must have sat in his living room thinking, do you know what? That would go really well.
So they did, right. And they do. At Chelsea, we knew who it was. It was a bloke called Mick Greenaway. And he started the Zigga Zagga chant. Yep. And he started the 10 men went to Mo, which drives people bonkers. But that's a Chelsea derivative song. And it was done by a bloke, Greenaway, sitting in a pub with his pals. That is terrace culture.
Des, I feel like you're complaining about something, but I'm not quite sure exactly what it
no.
is.
No,
Des complaining.
are you attacking today?
I'm bemoaning the loss of that culture. The football experience now is wonderful, just beautiful.
Wow,
too expensive.
It is very expensive.
Ultra expensive. A little bit too sterile in some circumstances.
Young people can't go. Doesn't it need young people to be in. The stands, standing in the stands.
Yes.
To be able to...
Not allowed to stand in the stands
standing
anymore.
Standing is the key word there.
And yeah. I massively bemoan the loss of the standing culture. Yeah. I understand why it happened.
Well,
I'm a Liverpool fan.
Yeah.
I know Hillsborough. What killed people at Hillsborough, despite everything else that goes on, was the fences.
Yeah.
That's what killed people. There was a reason why the fences were there, because of all the hooliganism that had preempted it. But it was fences... that killed people. That stopped the terraces. That made it a middle-class sport, an expensive sport.
But thinking forward, right, if we predict the future, if it gets to be that there's just an older and older crowd, because really you look at the faces in the terrace, so-called terraces of the English game, they're late middle-aged.
Average age is over 40.
Right. And whereas...
they're the only ones who can afford it.
And back in the 70s and 80s, it would have been... late 20s, mid 20s even.
Yeah, a lot younger. It was a lot more affordable. I remember going on the Kop for 50 pence or something, and a programme was 30 pence. I'm not saying I want to go back to those days.
Yeah, you see we are.
But
you
but
are.
They were no, I'm not.
Okay.
Absolutely not, because the terraces were horrible.
Right. Yeah.
It was great.
No, but like today at the Allianz Arena where Bayern play, you can actually stand for 10 euros safely, and you can watch a game and not, you know, be out of pocket.
Absolutely. The German model might be the way to go.
Because and you don't have to walk far for a drink as well. Yeah.
There's a lot more trust of
beverages,
alcohol and drinks.
Yeah.
And the pricing...
a lot of trust there.
Yeah, and the pricing in German stadiums is much lower. But then, of course, then the revenue being generated by the club is a lot less. So that's unattractive to the club, is it not? Des Corkill, is that your phone going all the time?
Sorry.
So unprofessional.
It's abuse. I turned it off as well.
You can tell he's not a radio guy, you know what I mean?
and he told us to switch off our phones. Yeah, so moving forwards though, I wonder, we are growing up watching the English game, but is the English game actually becoming a sterile? It's getting quieter.
I go to games, people keep telling me there's great atmospheres. I go to games and people sit on their hands. You're not allowed to stand. Some stadiums are bringing in singing sections. What? And a lot of this is because you're not allowed to go and sit where you are. You've got a seat and you sit there, and you, if you're lucky and there's a crowd of people around you who are boisterous, you might get a bit of atmosphere there from it. And the clubs are trying to address it. But Man United have a singing section. I promise you, the old Stretford End used to be a vociferous place. Hmm. It used to generate an atmosphere. Even when they went down to the second division, which they've got to get in.
Just for one season.
Just for one season. Yeah, but when they came up, the passion and the feeling and the atmosphere was sensational. I think we have lost some. We've gained a lot with these new stadiums. These new stadiums are beautiful. But I think we've become just a little bit too blasé that everything is there for us.
When I was younger, watching live football, the thing that really got me, apart from the football, was the singing.
Absolutely.
Singing here. At each other, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was what really, you feel it.
It's part of the theatre.
It's part of everything,
and
yeah.
And I don't understand why, in England specifically, making an effort to make sure that the crowd is there to make that noise.
Because there's still the reaction to what was very violent times in the 70s, 80s and 90s. They were very, very violent times. They don't want to go back to those violent times, but somehow there's got to be a happy medium. And I wish terraces were part of it. The terrace culture I mentioned, I think we've lost a little bit. We've gained a lot, but we've lost a lot. I'd like to get some of the stuff we lost.
Very quickly, though, Malaysia, have you experienced atmosphere that's...
When Kelantan won the treble, I thought that was brilliant. I was there for a lot of Kelantan games. I thought atmosphere there was brilliant. JDT have a pretty good atmosphere.
But when they're losing, when these teams are losing, there is no atmosphere.
There is no atmosphere.
And if you've got part of a terrace culture, when your team is losing in the West, there's atmosphere.
They sing even more.
Oh, okay, so we have to move on, but thank you. And we now move on to the last part of the show, recommendations. We recommend something that we think might be of interest. I'm going to go first. My recommendation is a German football club, to stay in the football theme. I'd like you all to look up St. Pauli.
Good lefty. Well, and I knew this was coming.
Nice kit, nice logo.
The brown kit. Tell me about St. Pauli.
St. Pauli, producer Ali here, he recently went off to Germany to do some recording, and he went to St. Pauli. St. Pauli is a famously punk club. And in fact, that there's a music venue here in Kuala Lumpur for punk bands called Rumah Api. And in the stands at St. Pauli, people were holding up banners saying, in solidarity with Rumah Api.
Wow. And
meanwhile, Hamburg also has another team, Hamburg, which is much more conservative.
Kevin Keegan played for them.
Oh, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and more right wing. But St. Pauli is not entirely unique in Germany. I think that there are commonalities with FC Union in Berlin. And also one of the teams which I'm fascinated by, Beşiktaş, down in Istanbul. But St. Pauli, it just seems fascinating. So go check out St. Pauli. And that's my recommendation.
Wow. Okay. So, I don't know how to top that one. Go on, Des.
No. It's over to you, Ross.
Okay. Well, I say you should get into limited overs cricket. I say it's a great game. It finally came home, the World Cup. And and it was a New Zealander, Ben Stokes. You had Muslims in the team. You had
the England team.
The England team. It's multinational, multiracial. Cricket World Cup was wicked.
Okay, Ross. Malaysia lost to Nepal the same day England won the World Cup.
Oh,
20 overs.
Team watcher.
Apparently, why would you not support your local team?
Apparently, there was a game of tennis going on in Southwest 19
as
well.
But why would you suggest international cricket as something to watch when your national team is playing same day and you have not got a clue that they're playing?
This is from the man who said not 10 minutes ago that Liverpool, it trumps England anytime.
He is saying support one-day cricket. There's one-day cricket going on in Malaysia, and the guy's got no idea that it's going on. Same day as the game that he's recommending.
Well, there you go. You can't schedule a local cricket game when the Cricket World Cup final's on.
Yeah, that's true.
How often have you watched the Cricket World Cup final, Ross?
Once.
There you
go.
Malaysia play in this national league every year.
I'm sorry, but the Cricket World Cup comes around once every 4 years, and England don't always get there.
Okay, so...
You're Malaysian.
All right.
I know, but there isn't a Malaysian cricket team.
They played against Nepal.
They're rubbish.
Also, so purely success. Win.
No.
Man United fan. See him in the corner.
Have you seen Man United now? Have you seen United? We ain't going to win
poor
nothing.
Lambs. It's a full year since you lost anything. You've only got £1 billion to spend this year.
Yeah, but...
Anyway, so moving along. Des Corkill, what's your recommendation?
My bit of culture today. Malaysia Cup is looming. The FA Cup final is coming next, on the 27th of July.
It's a sellout already, isn't
it? It's a sellout already. There'll be 85,000 people from Kedah and Perak. It will be a spine-tingling event. There might not be the terrace culture I spoke about there, but there'll be local pride. When the Malaysia Cup comes round, look out for some of the big games. It's still the national sport. We have got World Cup games coming up against Indonesia, Thailand, Vietnam, United Arab Emirates, and... That's it, the four.
I just want to say about that World Cup Group G that Malaysia's been drawn in, it's basically a Suzuki Cup with UAE in it.
Yeah.
So we can do this.
So my recommendation is to go to a local league game. Cam, you're from Perak. Go to a Perak game. They're playing in that cup final.
Okay.
45,000 of your fellow Perakians will be coming down the motorway alongside with 45,000 Kedahans, and it'll be a memorable occasion. Go to a game. Ross, get your backside down to Shah Alam and go and see Selangor and give them some support. Ali, where are you from? Perlis, they disbanded this year.
Unlucky, Ali.
So go and find yourself a local team and show passion and show heart for your local club.
Okay, well,
Ali's Liverpool. And just want to add that.
And on that note, I will just revert back to show that this is not Des Corkill's show for a moment, if possible. But I would like to thank at the end of this special football edition in the off season. It is in Europe anyway.
It is. But we're in the middle of the season in Malaysia.
Yeah, I said that on purpose. That's the voice of Des Corkill. Thank you very much.
It's been an
actually,
absolute
pleasure. Des is wrong. It's just finished, the Malaysian football.
No, it's not.
The Malaysia Cup starting.
The Malaysia Cup starts. We've got the last... So we've got a relegation clash.
One round. It's
been wonderful. I'm a big fan of a bit of culture. I'm sorry if I brought a rowdiness that isn't normally associated.
It's like being on the terraces, isn't it? And thank you very much to Ross Yusuf.
You're most welcome. Great joy.
And if you're listening to this show on Friday, you've had a double header. You've had Ross in Grandstand and now Ross in a bit of culture.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey.
Hey.
Hey. Find us for more.
And myself, Cam Rustlin. And please join us next week. And if the crowd is so willing, if they start a chant, we might even do this again sometime. Here on A Bit of Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.